Hi everyone, welcome back to the Best Kept Secrets podcast. I am so happy to have you guys back for another episode. So you guys don't know this, but fun fact, this is actually our first shoot of 2023. All the other episodes that you've already watched and seen or listened to were shot last year. So this is the first time I'm talking to you guys in real time, and I am so, so excited to have you back. It's a nice, beautiful day today. We're having some candles burning. You can't see them, but the vibes are giving. And today is actually our last episode for this season. Season one is officially over. We have covered a bunch of topics. And for this episode, I asked you guys on Instagram on Best Kept Secrets Pod. That is our Instagram and my personal Instagram, which is Sharon K. Mwangi, to leave your questions or dilemmas, and I'm going to tackle them for you guys and share my best kept secrets or what I can be able to share with you about your questions. So let's get right into it. Okay. So first question is, I have an avoidant attachment style and I want to start healing. I've never been in a relationship and it's affecting my general outlook of feeling left out. What do I do? So this, I guess, is in relation to the episode we did with Lydia about attachment styles. So if you haven't watched that yet, please go and watch it so you can understand more about attachment styles. But I know that a lot of avoidant people struggle with just the concept of relationships in general, the concept of being able to lean onto someone else or open up yourself to someone else. So when it comes to healing, one, I would say a lot of therapy, because you need to work through your childhood trauma that is holding you back from allowing yourself to let someone in. So therapy is super, super important. You'll be able to just uncover the layers and just reparent. That's number two, reparenting. So reparenting is giving yourself the needs that that you lacked in your childhood, giving that to yourself now. So what your parents weren't able to give you back then when you were a child, you give that to yourself now. So for avoidance, usually it's emotional security. They lacked emotional security and they were disappointed a lot by their parents or caregivers. So you just create an environment in which you're able to be emotionally secure within yourself. So you offer yourself emotional security, meaning you teach yourself how to trust yourself. You teach yourself to be able to open up and depend on other people while also depending on yourself. So reparenting, I would say, is number two. You can just read up on that and just there's a lot of resources you can be able to get that will allow you to understand more on reparenting. And then I think number three what else can you do for attachment healing? What helped me? Self-soothing. Self-soothing is a very big thing that helped me. I'm an anxious attacher, but for even avoidant attachers, usually when someone gets too close to them, they pull away because intimacy is scary for them. So whenever you do end up in a relationship, you have to keep self-soothing yourself in those moments and telling yourself, it's okay, I can trust this person, I can open up myself to this person, I can depend on this person, they won't let me down even though I have been let down in the past. So a lot of self-soothing and a lot of like internal talking to yourself internally, a lot of journaling would also be a great place to start. And honestly, it's just facing the unknown, facing your fear is a great way for those people who have never been in a relationship because their avoidance is a great place for you to start. So that's what I would say about that. Number two is, hi Sharon, how do I overcome betrayal from a relationship and trust again or even love again? It's so funny. I was actually watching a snippet from another podcast where they were talking about this and the question was cheating. So if I'm cheated on and I want to stay, how do I learn how to trust again after being betrayed? And what they said is something that I completely agree with, which is number one, if you decide to stay or if you decide to continue pursuing this relationship, when it comes to trust, number one, you have to be aware that, yes, I have forgiven this person, but you can't keep bringing it up. Because I think a lot of people say, yeah, I've forgiven this person, but then you stay in that relationship and you're always reminding them how they hurt you, how they betrayed your trust, how you can never trust them again. Then you're doing zero work. You're literally mark timing in that same spot. So if you decide to stay and say that this relationship, I want to continue working on it, you have to forgive, you have to forget, you have to let go and give this person a clean slate where they can be able to rebuild the trust that they lost. That's ideally just the situation that works. And you have to ask yourself, is this something that I am capable of doing? And this is this something that I want to do? Because it's hard, because it's, our default or the easier thing to do is play victim. So you have to remove yourself out of that victim mentality that, yes, this person did hurt me and I was the victim, but because I love this person and I'm choosing to stay in this relationship, then it also takes away that autonomy of me being a victim to, yeah, I'm now choosing to stay. And I'm choosing to forgive you, and I'm choosing to let go, and I'm choosing to not only let go of this thing, but also the fact that I was a victim in this situation. So that's what I would say. It's also not the easiest thing to do, so I wish you all the best. You're very capable of doing it if you decide to do it. Number three is, once you get diagnosed with depression, does it ever end? Like, will this ever end? Because you can just be okay, then boom, you're not. Noticed my questions aligns with the depression episode, but I really just want to know if it really ends. Girl, I know what this feels like. I know what that feeling of, I'm so depressed, and I just want to not be depressed anymore. Will this ever end? And I want to tell you, yes, this can end. I am a testament of that. I do have episodes once in a while, but they are never as tragic or as big of a mountain as they used to be years ago when I first started dealing with depression. So I do have feelings of depression here and there, feelings of sadness here and there, because sadness is a normal emotion or a normal feeling to feel, just like happiness, right? So the question is, yes, it does end. There is a lot of work, a lot of healing, a lot of prayer, a lot of God that takes for it to end. But yes, it does end. And I keep telling you guys, you deserve happiness, you deserve healing, and you are worthy of all of those things. And yes, you can get better and you will get better if you decide to go down that path of getting better. So next question is, if an ex is concurrently appearing after weeks, months, giving you expectations and leaving you in the middle of nowhere, is it okay to just block them because it's draining? You know what, girl? I am the queen of blocking when this situation doesn't serve me anymore. Because the thing is, how are you allowing someone to come and wreck your peace on your phone that you paid for? Do you know what I mean? Like, this person is coming in and out. He promises you things and then he leaves and then he comes back again. And then, you know, like, it destabilizes you. It's okay for you to block people, right? And if you feel like that's like an extreme, or if you feel like, you know, whatever it is, then you can be open with them about the boundary you're setting. Because blocking is a form of setting a boundary, and it's okay to relay your boundary to other people, to communicate your boundary to the other person. So you can literally just tell this person, you know what, when you come in and out of my life and promise me things and come back and leave, it leaves me feeling like this and this, and I don't appreciate that, and I'm not going to accept that anymore, so I'm going to block you. And whatever it is, whether they accept your boundary or not, is neither here nor there, but you have to take a stand for yourself. So yes, it's completely okay to block them. And I mean, I also think that we have kind of romanticized blocking, so I don't want to be part of that narrative. But in situations where you're doing it as setting a boundary and you've communicated your boundary, then go ahead, block that man, okay? Yeah, or woman, because, you know, equal rights for everyone. So next question is, how do you find your purpose? Oh, that's a heavy one. And I feel like that deserves like an episode of its own. So, gosh, what do I say about purpose? I think we really misunderstand purpose, and I really want to give this the time that it deserves. So please allow me to do a whole episode on this, and I've been meaning to talk about this, so I will do that. I don't know if this is really a dilemma, but you see, Paul the apostle in the Bible says about wanting to do good but keeping doing bad that you don't want to do. I feel like that describes my life, and it really cripples me when it comes to spiritual growth. I feel like I don't know how to walk upright anymore. Okay. I feel like what I'm getting from this is that you're struggling with guilt and feeling like you want to do good things, but you keep doing bad things, and that is crippling you. So I have struggled with this a lot, and I still struggle with this once in a while. So I'm just going to share a few things that have helped me not struggle with sin consciousness. So sin consciousness, one, again, I did promise that we're going to do a whole episode on sin consciousness with Sue, so we will do that. But number one, sin consciousness is basically you being conscious and aware of your sin to the point where it cripples you because you're feeling guilty. So what has helped me with that, because what that used to do for me is that it would make me feel like I'm such a bad person and I'm so dirty, and how can I go to God and pray and tell him things or ask him of things when I just did this bad thing that I know I shouldn't be doing. So what helped me with that is, one, understanding that shame and guilt does not come from God. Shame and guilt are not of God. That is the enemy. And it is his, one of his biggest tactics of pulling Christians away from God. It's him telling you, oh, you're so dirty. Oh, you're such a sinner. How dare you go to pray to God? How dare you go in God's presence after what you did last night? And all of these things, right? So it's just knowing that that is not of God. So if you ever feel shame, if you ever feel guilt, just know that's not God. Number two, what has helped me is just knowing that all of these things were already paid for on the cross. Every single thing that I feel like I've done, the whole essence of Jesus coming was for him to take away those things. So actually, let me read something for you. Yes, okay. So I watched a sermon by Joyce Meyer, and she was saying how guilt is our way of paying for our sins that Jesus already paid for. And that literally changed how I look at things, because I was shaming myself and I was guilt tripping myself for things that have already been paid for. There's nothing more that I can do that Jesus did not already do on the cross for me, right? So when I started looking at things like that, it helped me feel like, okay, at the core of it, I am a sinner. Right? That is the nature of human beings. We are sinners and we are redeemed through Christ. So when I sin or when I do bad things, like the question was saying, I know that I still have the authority because of what Jesus did on the cross. I still have the authority to come to God and pray to him and speak to him and seek a relationship with him, because he had already thought of all of those things when Jesus was dying on the cross, right? So don't allow the enemy to shame you or guilt you, guilt trip you into what has already been paid on the cross for you. So that's what I would say. Don't let it keep you from the presence of God. Don't let it keep you from praying to God. Don't let it keep you from seeking a relationship with God. Don't let it keep you from speaking to him, because he's your father and he already knows all of these things. And there's nothing that you can do to ever be worthy. He just loves you as you are, and he asks us to come to him as we are. Yeah. So next question is, hi Sharon, I have been seeing this man for 2 months now, and after the first month I moved from Nairobi, he started acting different. He doesn't call me, he barely talks, he doesn't initiate conversation. I asked him and he said he's just not good with communication, especially over the phone. I understand that there are such people, so I'm trying to give him more grace, but I also can't understand how you can stay for 2 days without talking to someone you love and be comfortable. Help. Do you want me to tell you the truth, or do you want me to tell you the pretty lie? Okay. One, I agree with you that yes, there are people who struggle with communication generally. There are people who don't text much, don't call much. There are those people. Fine. Agreed. But two, you have said that he's gotten worse with communication ever since you moved out of Nairobi. So I think that could be not really a red flag, but it could be a sign that there's more to it than he's saying. I feel like there's more to it than I'm not good at communicating. I think it's more of, I don't know if this relationship can work now that you have moved out of Nairobi. So I would rather withdraw and not speak to you as often, because I don't know if we have a future. So I think what needs to happen is that you guys need to have a honest, open conversation about this whole thing. So do you still want to be with me? Do you still think that even though I have moved and this distance, that we can make this work? If so, communicate your needs. One of your needs is that you want him to communicate better. So tell him, it's a need for me for you to be able to communicate with me, and not wait 2 days for you to say something to me. Honestly, that's also a thing for me. And even 2 days is a lot. For me, I don't understand how 24 hours can go by. You say you love me and you care for me and you're thinking of me and you miss me, but then you can't pick up your phone or call me. You can't pick up your phone or text me. Even a hi? No. No, for me, that's definitely a need for me as well. So definitely communicate your needs and see if he's willing to meet your needs. And something that I have learned from my many, 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 many years of dating is that with men are very simple. We're the ones who complicate things and think that they are complicated. They are not. I'm in the school of thought that if a person wants you, more so if a man wants you, he will make it work. He might not be good at communication, but he'll figure it out. He'll text you, he'll call you, he'll send you a voice note if he can't text or call. He will check in. He will make it work somehow. So I think there needs to be some sort of conversation to be had. Is it worth to try and stay friends with an ex? I can't say things ended on bad terms equal to. I mean, for me, it's just like, what do you really want to be friends with him? Is there any benefit of being friends with him? Because I think it's definitely complicated when, especially when you have a new partner and you're still friends with your ex. So that's, I think it's very relative. It's up to you, really. Like, if you have no issue being friends with your ex, then fine. As long as there are boundaries, as long as there are no blood lines, then you can be friends. Me personally, I prefer to be, you know, cordial, to be acquaintances, like no bad blood. When I see you, we are cool. I can say hi. We can, you know, whatever, but like I'm not like going out of my way to like constantly talk to you and meet you and whatever, because when will I ever move on, right? So that's how I would approach that. Number two, okay, not number two. Next question is, what help were you offered by your family and close friends that made the depression period more bearable? This is such a nice question because I don't think we offer advice. We offer like proper step-by-step like advice to people who have loved ones who are struggling with mental health or depression. And for me, during my first ever depressive episode, what really helped me is that my friends would literally come to my house, draw my curtains, because I would sit in the dark day after day after day, draw my curtain, bring me food because they know I haven't eaten, they know I've been sitting in the dark. And I remember there was a the once I was going through an episode and it was my birthday. And my friend, I don't know if she even remembers, my friend Nyambura, who was my friend then, came and she got me out of the house. Nyambura and Sharon, they got me out of the house. They took me on a walk. We went on a nice little like walk to some rocks. We ate like a slice of cake together. And that, even just like being out in the sun and eating a nice like yummy snack and like laughing with your friends can really, really, really help with the feelings of depression. So I would say just don't tell them by words that, yeah, I'm here for you if you need me. You can call me anytime. I would say do more of actions. Show up at their house if you can. Bring them food or send them food. Or sit with them in the darkness and watch whatever it is they're watching. Or, you know, just like talk to them, show up there in the midst of it. Like push them to shower, push them to eat, push them to go out on a walk, go on the walk with them. The second time around, now this time I had a 9-to-5, so I kind of had no option but to leave the house. I couldn't sit in the dark and wallow, which is what I wanted to do. So my friends at work would just be very, you know, kind with even like covering for me when they could tell that like I was really struggling with work. And I remember there's a day like I just couldn't. Like I tried. I had gotten out of the house, I was dressed, I was everything, but I sat on that desk for hours and I couldn't like do anything. And I just told my friend, like, please, like, babe, like, Dwani, like, cover for me. I just need to take the afternoon off. And I just need to go and sit and just, like, do nothing because my brain can't fathom anything more. And yeah, she covered for me with our boss because she was my colleague, stroke friend. And I went to my other friend's house because I couldn't go home so early. My mom would wonder. And I just sat there and I watched a show and ate my snacks and just like chatted with my friend. And that like really, really helped me in that moment. So, yeah, I think that's how I would say show up for your friends and your family who are going through depression or any mental health. So just show up physically and also ask them how they would like to be supported, because I know there are some people who don't like people in their space. So ask them, how can I support you? How can I offer you support in this moment? And usually when you ask people that question, they do end up telling you. Okay, next question. I want to get into situationships, but I'm scared I'll fall in love and end up hurt. What are your thoughts on situationships, and would you advise someone to exploit? Okay. Ah, girl. Why would you want to get into a situationship in the year of our Lord 2023? Because I think for me, what I don't like about situationships or I mean, I'm okay with a talking stage because we have to get to know each other before we officially like make things official. But for me, a situationship is just too open-ended for me. Like I want to know from the beginning, where do you see this going? And what I have learned in my late 20s is to never compromise about what I want for the other person. So even from like date two or even date one, I go in asking, what are your thoughts on marriage? What are your thoughts on children? Are these things that you desire for yourself? Are these things you're open to? When in the next couple of years do you want to settle down? Because with that, I'm able to gauge where this person's headspace is at. So if I go in to this date on like date two or three, and you tell me that you don't want marriage, you don't want kids, like, I'm out. If you tell me you want marriage in 4 years, I'm out, you know, because that doesn't align with like what I want, right? So I think for me, situationships are just too open-ended for me. I usually like from the beginning to know, okay, this is a person that is looking for something long-term, is looking for something stable, is looking to settle down in the near future. Our values are aligned in that sense. So I am able to, even though it's a talking stage, I know that that's where it could potentially lead to. And if it doesn't, then that's better than going in with a guy who's told me, I'm just here for a good time, not a long time. Because me, I left that when I was 21. I don't do that no more. So yeah. Okay. How does one put themselves out there for dating? Any advice for late bloomers in dating? Oh, so cute. I think, okay, I can't relate because me, I've been dating since I could walk, since, you know, but for late bloomers, I would say just like putting yourself out there first, I know is very difficult when you've never really dated or you've never really been in a relationship, but putting yourself in situations where you could potentially meet people. So that means you need to leave your house. I know people who are praying for marriages, praying for husbands, praying for wives, wanting a relationship, but they're in the house 24/7. They go to work, they come back home. No, you have to leave your house. You have to go hang out at places, like go, if you're into online dating, do online dating. Just like put yourself in situations where you could potentially meet a partner. And then don't like put yourself in situations where the partner that you want is not there. Like if you want to meet a certain kind of partner, then you're always going to the club, then you'll meet a certain kind of man, you know what I mean, or a certain kind of woman. So just like put yourself in situations or places where you could potentially meet someone, or, you know, even ask your friends to like introduce you to like people they know, like their male friends or their boyfriend's friends. Like, you know, if they're having a party, please, I want to come. Are there going to be any single men? I want to meet some men. You know what I mean? Or meet some babes. That's just how I would advise me. That's how I usually meet people. So that's what worked for me. I'm seeing this guy who can't say he loves me when he's in public. I also can't meet his mom because he's not sure we will make it long term. Oh, baby girl. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, for me, it's just, okay, do you want long term? Because if you do want long term, then your values are not aligned there. So you need to make a decision whether you're willing to stick it out or leave because this man can't offer you what you want. It's important for your partner to be able to meet the needs that are important to you. If it is a need for you to be in something stable and long-term, to potentially meet parents, for him to tell you he loves you in public or acknowledge you in public, and if you're not getting those needs met, you need to reevaluate what the future of this relationship looks like. That's what I would say. So this is a second last question, which is, how do you maintain intentionality in seeking God even in the tough times? I know this one is hard. I know this one is hard because me, when I go through tough times, I am a crybaby. I am a spoiled brat. I'm like, God, how would you let this thing happen to me? In fact, I'm so angry at you, God. Why? You know, like, I am a brat. I'm just like, God, really? This is what we're going through. I thought you said we're not doing this anymore. I thought you said we're not going through this anymore. So I know that. I know that. But for me, I think what has helped me with like seeking God, even in the tough times, is just that how I choose to see God in those tough times. So do I choose to be angry at him or to just like stay away from him because this tough thing is really beating me down? Or do I choose to look at him as my solace, as my refuge? And if he's my refuge, why would I not run to him during this tough time? In fact, this tough time is a time when I need him the most, because I'm like, God, I need you now, and I need you to help me get out of this tough time. So that is the best time for you to pray to God, to cry to God, to seek him, to ask him to be with you, for him to show up for you to feel his presence. That's generally just like what has worked for me, is how I choose to see God in those tough times. Do I choose to see him as this guy who's let this thing happen to me, or just like this like chore, because sometimes it can feel like a chore to seek him? Or do I choose to see him as my solace and my refuge and my father and this person that I really need to be with me during this tough time? Yeah. Last question is, it's a long one. I'm in a relationship with an unbeliever. He believes in the existence of God, but he doesn't pursue a relationship with him. Aside from that, he's a good man and our values are aligned, especially with the important stuff. What are your thoughts? Yeah, she asked me not to read out the next part of the question, but she was basically asking me to pray for her, pray with her. Yeah. So I think this is something that I also personally have struggled with or struggled with. This is actually a conversation me and Justin are always having about dating unbelievers and what that looks like. And if your values are not aligned in that sense, then can the relationship work? And I can't sit here and lie to you and tell you that I have all the answers. But I think this is something that I would say you need to be in constant communication and in constant prayer with God in. And I don't think that anyone is above redemption. I don't think that anyone cannot be saved. I think, you know, the Bible keeps reassuring us that God leaves the 99 for one. But I also am very aware of not missionary dating, because I have not come as a missionary in your life, unless I am God really specifically said that to me. But I mean, it would really have to come from him. It would have to come from, yeah, like, babe, this is something that I really want to pursue. I really want to pursue a relationship with God, and I'm not there yet, but I really want to do this for myself, not for you, not for the sake of your relationship. Because when your relationship ends and that was his motivating factor, then he's probably gonna slip back into the world, right? So it has to come from him. I know I have friends who, you know, when they met their partner, they were not as deep into Christ or having a relationship with Christ as they were. And then as time has gone by, they have morphed and they've become even deeper than my friends when they met them. So I think it's possible, but I think it has to come from the person. And if it comes from the person, then there's potential for this relationship with God for them to blossom. But if the person is not willing, if this is of no interest to the person, if this is like, if you're the motivating factor, if the relationship is a motivating factor, then I don't think it's really gonna work, to be honest. Yeah, so that's the sad reality of that. Yeah, but like I said, I don't have the full answer for that. But when I do, I will share with you guys. Yeah. So that's it for today's episode and the first season of the Best Kept Secrets podcast. I have absolutely enjoyed doing this with you guys, talking to you guys week after week after week on all the many topics that we have discussed. I want you guys to do me a favor and, one, tell me what has been your favorite episode this season. And then, two, tell me what guests you would like to see in the next season and what topics you would like us to discuss with those guests in the next season. That will really help me figure out what the future or what the direction of this podcast looks like, on top of the things that I already have planned. And then number three, please don't forget to subscribe because it really, really, really does help this podcast for those who are watching us on YouTube and for those who are listening on our audio platforms. And please share this with a friend, share this and help us grow so we can reach many, many more people. That is it from me for this season. I'll see you guys in the next season. Thank you so much for rocking with me. And I promised when we start season two, I'm going to have a name for you guys, because I keep telling you I need to find a name to be able to refer to you guys and just like have that like nice relationship going. Thank you for everything. God bless you all. See you next season. Bye.